WAIF as a community radio station serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. They reflect Chris and Rob's views or the views of their guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. And now, grinding sacred cows into radio hamburger, here's your hosts, the two and only Chris and Rob, starring in the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. To be on tonight's program, call now, 749-1444. Or if you're calling from outside the 275 loop, put a 513 before it and call 513-749-1444. And make sure to check out Chris and Rob on the internet at cincinnatiatlas.com. And now, finally, here's Chris and Rob.
Yep, that's us. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And now here's our famous drum roll.
$0.02 worth? Call Chris and Rob now at 749-1444.
Woohoo! Off to a rousing hot start on this year's Halloween Spooktacular. But before we get into the whole Halloween stuff, we got a few things to get off our chest. Don't we, Robbie?
You know, Chris, I don't think 2 hours is going to be enough.
It never is.
To get in everything that we have planned, we'll talk to ghost hunters from the state of Washington. We'll talk to ghost hunters from major universities in the great state of Texas, the home
of
your president.
Don't mess with Texas.
George W. Bush, the home of Willie Nelson, the birthplace of Buddy Holly and Lyle Lovett and Stevie Ray Vaughan. We'll talk to a ghost hunter from that state. We'll also recap, give you our thoughts, feelings, and opinions of the debate tonight between Curtis Fuller and Charlie Lucan. Former Channel 5 anchor person Curtis Fuller and former Channel 5 anchor person Charlie Lucan stood toe-to-toe, slugged it off. The gloves were off the fist. They were banging. They were taking their best shots. They were throwing from the ankles. They was laying in some haymakers. It was crazy there at the Museum Center. The two candidates staring each other down. Looking each other in the eye. Did either of them blink? Did you watch it? Did you care? Do you have any opinions or impressions of the debate? We'd like to hear from you. 749-1444 has been set up. Has been set up as our very special debate hotline number. 749-1444. The verbal fisticuffs between your mayor, Charlie Lucan, and the man who would be mayor, Curtis Fuller. You know,
did you see the debate tonight? I was on TV.
Yes, I enjoyed the debate over about 11 brats. Actually, it was about 4 brats and 7 smoked sausages. I had a very good time with the debate. I watched the debate on TV on Channel 5, and I thought it was a very good debate. Actually, I don't think either guy threw a knockout punch. I don't think either guy stole any voters from the other. I don't think either Curtis or Charlie made themselves stand out. I think they both, they did a lot of politician speak. I didn't hear a lot of definite plans. I heard a lot of, I'm better than this guy. I'm not very enthusiastic behind either candidate, but one must think that when the city has not one night, not two nights, but 3 or 4 nights of curfews in 1 year, one must assume that the city is not being run too damn well. And I don't know if you want to re-vote in, if you want to re-elect a guy who's running the city, which has led to 4 nights of curfew.
He didn't do a very good job.
Well, so I don't know if you want to bring him back or not. I mean, he's had a chance, and I know he's not been the strong mayor, but I don't know. I don't know if Curtis could be getting in over his head.
Rob, you and I would be getting in over our heads if we were to run for mayor and actually get elected. It'd be a tough job, especially in a town like Cincinnati that's so divided, that's so broken up, that's so difficult to convince of a good thing. I mean, people in Cincinnati, number one, don't want to have fun, and number two, never want to do the right thing. They always want to do the wrong thing. How could you be mayor of this mess?
Well, who wants to be mayor? Who wants to go down to city council and have these guys standing up on the tables and screaming at you? I mean, who the hell even wants to put themselves through that kind of nonsense and mess? And it's hard to work with the city council people. There's a bunch of grandstanders on city council. There's a bunch of guys who want to see their names in the paper. And, boy, I tell you what, it could be a mess. It could just be a real mess down there. And I don't know, if Curtis gets in there, I got a feeling like 6 or 9 months, the first time some of those knuckleheads down at council just start screaming and freaking out and trying to flip over a table or something and call him a name, and he walks on and then the council goes cuckoo. It's going to, I don't know if he wants to be mayor. I don't know why anybody would want to be mayor, especially of Cincinnati. They keep saying it's a great city. It's a great place to live. It's a wonderful city.
It's got potential.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not a great city. It's not one of the great cities of the country. It's a fine city, though, and it's good enough for you because you're from Cincinnati, so it's just fine for you because you don't know any better.
WAIF is kind of like Cincinnati in sort of a smaller version. It's a great radio station with a lot of great things happening, yet it's got the squeaky chairs. Squeak your chair, Rob.
My chair is not too squeaky tonight.
You got the one that doesn't squeak?
I got my bud Jim, our lovely and talented science editor, brought down some WD-40, so you have no excuse.
Do her up, baby.
Grease my chair, baby, Chris just says to Jim. 749-1444 is the phone number. It's the very special election hotline debate phone number.
Now, this is our 11th annual, I might add, our 11th annual Halloween Spooktacular, so stay tuned for all that and more. But before we get into all the Halloween festivities, we are going to talk a little bit about this big mayoral election, the first election in the history of Cincinnati for strong mayor, at least in about 80 years or something. So we're going to cover a little bit of that first. I saw the debates tonight, and I am a strong supporter of Curtis Fuller at this point. Mayor Lucan made it very apparent that not only he is in over his head, but the fact that he's a slick talker doesn't really get anything achieved. Nothing has happened in this town since the riots in April to improve things, to improve police-community relations, to improve the crime wave, to improve any of the other things that frighten old ladies. Hello, Tom. You're on the Chris and Rob Show.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. How you doing, Tommy?
I didn't see the debate, but I've heard Curtis Fuller speak, on a 12:30 a.m. buzz.
The buzz. The pulse of the city. The buzz.
Which is a far more interesting talk radio station than the other end of the dial. No offense, guys, but except
what, you're talking about WAIF? You think they're better than WAIF?
Better than 550 AM, 700 AM, at least for the political discussion.
Well, why even discuss those? Talk about WAIF, wow, ain't it funky radio?
Hello?
Yeah, we're right here, dude.
I didn't hear that last thing, so I'm sorry.
Well, okay, you listen to the buzz and you listen to WAIF, so I guess you got it going on.
Right, thank you.
All right, so you've heard Curtis Fuller on the radio before. You probably heard him on with Chris and Rob for about 95 minutes one night.
Oh, I missed that.
Yes, he was here in the plush Walnut Hill studios of WAIF. The jazz show even started 5 minutes late because Curtis wanted to talk about something.
I just think that Curtis has a lot easier way of communicating with people. He doesn't seem as stressed as Charlie does. Oh, sorry, Charlie.
Well, give him 4 years in that office and he might be. I'm not talking him down. I'm just saying 4 years of that nightmare make anybody seem stressed, dude.
It might happen. I don't know, but just that's my first impression.
My impression of Charlie Lucan is, I think although he's warmed up now, but I'd say like 2 or 3 months ago, I don't think his heart was really into running for mayor. When he was having to deal with Michael Riley and Bill Broadberger and all those and that four-way primary thing, I think he was just going through the motions. He didn't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And he got beat pretty bad in that primary, but, who voted after the damn planes flew into the World Trade Center?
That's pretty amazing anyone voted.
Well, I mean, you know, some people voted early on their way to work, as you'd expect, but after...
The rest of the people were very motivated Curtis Fuller supporters.
After 8:57 right. or whatever time the plane started crashing into the World Trade Center, not too many people thought, oh, damn, I got to go vote in this primary, which everybody knew was going to be Fuller and Broadberger.
Well, Tom,
or Fuller and Lucan.
It sounds
sorry.
To me, Tom, like you're calling in to say anyone that would vote for Charlie Lucan is voting foolishly because he hasn't made any improvements since all the problems reared their ugly head 6 or 8 months ago.
I think he's playing both sides of the fence. It's kind of like these radio ads for some city council members on when they're playing to a white audience or a white radio station. You can almost like I think it was there's this one ad that really ticks me off. Talks about how he didn't want to approve any amnesty for any of those rioters. And it's obvious why he's saying it. And then on another station, I heard that...
DeWine. I think it's DeWine.
I think that is who it is. And he's also advertising on 12:30 a.m. The Buzz, and he doesn't have that line in there. So it's really obvious he's playing a race card on a white station, and he has the gall to put ads on W1230 The Buzz.
Well, he should have the guts to go on The Buzz and tell the Buzz audience that he's not for amnesty for any of the rioters, because no right-thinking person is for amnesty for the rioters.
Look, Rob, Mr. Lucan didn't have the guts to come on our show. What makes you think he'd have the guts to go on The Buzz?
I think it was DeWine I was talking about.
DeWine did this ad. I've heard Lucan on The Buzz.
I'm just saying, Lucan doesn't have the guts to come on our show.
No, no Lucan.
I've heard Lucan with Lincoln Ware. I just don't know. Things are going crazy. General Kabaka, you down at the courthouse. You talk to me now.
This just seems like the both Lucan and DeWine, a lot of these people just playing out both sides of their mouth. They talk differently. They're just not straight up. I just like Fuller because he's straight up with people. I don't detect as much guile.
Well, one thing I don't understand about the way the campaign's been covered so far is, you know, when Curtis was on with us, and I call him Curtis, you know, he said, hey, dudes, hey, cats and kittens, all you super fine foxes in Cincinnati, I have a seven-point plan, and he has a seven-point plan. He has spelled out.
I got a copy of it in my box if you want to review it.
He's got spelled out what he wants to do. You never hear about Curtis Fuller's seven-point plan. You don't hear about what I've been hearing, actually, on some talk radio stations is people call up and say, well, Fuller, I kind of like him, but I don't know what he wants to do. I don't know what he wants to stand for. Well, he's got a seven-point plan, but it's just got absolutely no coverage in the Inquirer that I've seen. And very little coverage on radio. And, you know, TV news just doesn't have the time to devote to, a guy's seven-point plan for the city. So people are saying Curtis Fuller doesn't really stand for anything. Well, you know, get his plan and find out.
He does stand for things. He stands for everything that's right and moral, and he's the only moral vote you have in this election.
When I heard him on 12:30 The Buzz, he talked about different things he was for. I just think there's very few formats or media formats in the city that allow people to have an honest discussion without being, you know, yelled at or people yelling at each other.
What are you talking about, Tom? You're out of your gourd.
I don't mind the yelling as long as it can go on for a little bit. But like a lot of these talk radio stations, you call them up, you get cut off right away. They last all of like 30 seconds. You either agree with the host or you don't. If you don't agree with the host, you're usually cut off very rapidly. At least on WAIF and The Buzz, people have extended conversations.
Well, Tom, you have to play the talk hits. Your phone call is like a record. And if Michael Jackson's new record is hot out of the box, they're going to stick with it. If they think it's not hot, they cut it off. And that's why, you know, guys like you just seem to be sort of calm and level-headed. You don't get played on the talk. You know, you're not a big talk hit. You're not talking conspiracy. You're not talking gloom, doom, death, and destruction. Nobody wants to hear you.
I have called into some of the more right-wing talk shows, I can lay into some of their stuff. But if you get passionate against what they believe in, boy, you're cut off really fast then.
That's right.
It's kind of like, it's just diabolical almost.
Well, Tom, that's not diabolical. You can't actually turn to talk radio and expect it to be anything above the level of screeching cartoons.
Art Bell has got a great show.
Well, talk radio is not a format where real ideas get exchanged.
I beg to differ.
Occasionally, somebody will slip through
But your show allows stuff to get through.
Well, maybe. That's why we're on WAIF, and that's why we're, not, you know, we're nowhere else, but we're on WAIF.
Actually, one of the best talk radio shows is the Art Bell Show, and that actually is on the same station that I think has some of the most,
you know. Yeah, but that's on at night, you know, and nighttime's a completely different format. I mean, at night, you know, he doesn't have as many commercials. He's not doing weather and traffic and news every 8 minutes. He's, you know, he can go free format. He's got 5 hours, and his hours are bigger.
Does he actually, I wonder what kind of audience share he gets at night versus the daytime people.
It's not bad, but it's a nighttime audience. It's security guards, insomniacs, stoners, and people who actually do believe in UFOs and ghosts.
So it'd be nice if they could get someone with his way of talking with people during the day.
It would never happen, not in this country. Thanks for your call, Tom.
All right.
This is the Chris and Rob Show, and if you want to talk about the elections, we'll talk about that for two or three more minutes. 749-1444. Then we're going to jump into the 11th annual Chris and Rob Halloween Spookorama. Now, in case you missed some of the debates that were on Channel 5 tonight of the Cincinnati mayoral race, Charlie Lucan, the incumbent mayor, who should not be reelected because he did such a crappy job, and Curtis Fuller, the young lion with the nice mustache who is working his way up, hopefully to be elected to that great office and be the Cincinnati's first strong mayor.
Yeah, whatever happened to the Nordstrom's deal?
What do you mean?
Wasn't it, Hugh, we're going to bring Nordstrom's to Cincinnati? Wasn't this a big deal? Whatever happened to that?
They didn't talk about that on the debate tonight.
What happened to that big giant pit that they dug downtown, like on 5th Street or 6th Street or whatever?
I think it's a parking lot now.
Oh, they've made something out of it? It was just an enormous hole right in downtown.
Right.
The city's not really making progress, is it?
They made it into a parking lot. I parked in it today.
They need more parking downtown, but
they do.
I don't know. Why did they have to dig a big giant hole first to make a parking lot?
Why not?
Why can't you just, parking lot's flat. Is it a lot? Is it a garage, or is it just a lot?
Had to hide the corpses somewhere.
Oh, I tell you what, man. I just don't. Nobody lives downtown, so nothing's open past 5 o'clock downtown. And nothing's open past 5 o'clock downtown, so nobody lives downtown.
It's crazy, isn't it?
You know, it's the city of neighborhoods, and I think it might just stay a city of neighborhoods because nobody wants to go downtown!
16, 17 minutes after 10
something
o'clock
like that.
On WAIF, the Chris and Rob Show. So Rob and I have a bit of a historical reenactment based on the mayoral debate held at Union Terminal this evening. Was tonight at 8 o'clock, and if you missed it, here's some of it for you, done Chris and Rob Kung Fu Theater style.
It's time now for another action-packed episode of Chris and Rob's thrilling Kung Fu Theater. Tonight's very special election episode is entitled The Debate. We join the mayoral candidates, Curtis Fuller and Charlie Lucan, along with reporters at the Museum Center. Mr. Fuller speaks first.
So, if elected mayor, I would make neighborhoods safer, revitalize downtown, and continue to perfect my sweet mustache.
And as Charlie Lucan, I'd like to rebut here, if I could. As mayor, I've gained a lot of experience with government, and having worked alongside of the lovely Norma Rashid for so long, I've learned the language of love. Why the back of the knee is so erotic, and how to make a bitch in old-fashioned. Gotta put some bitters in there. We'll take a question now. Yes, you, the short guy with the bad haircut.
So I have two questions. First, what can we do to heal the city? And my second question is, are you ready for an ass-kicking?
Then suddenly from outside the audience, led by Clyde Gray, came the evil Shih Tzu Clan.
Hands off my mustache, man.
Don't eat me, my glasses.
Night. dark. And it ain't till 12 till the party really starts. And I always had to be home by 10, right before the fun was about to begin. Crowds of people lined up inside and out, just for one reason, to rock the house. But in the daytime, the streets were clear. You couldn't find a good freak anywhere, cause
friends come out at night. Friends come out at night. Friends come out at night.
Freaks come out.
Friends come out at night. Friends come out at night. Friends come out at night. Friends come out at night.
Freaks come out.
Friends come out at night.
Now when freaks get dressed to go out at night, they like to wear leather jackets, chains and spikes. They wear rips and zippers all in their shirts. Real tight pants and fresh mini skirts. All kinds of colors running through their hair, and you could just about spot a freak anywhere. But then again, you could know someone all their life and might not know their freak unless you see him at night. Cause
freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night.
Freaks come out.
Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night.
Freaks come out.
Freaks come out at night.
Now the party's jumping, the place is packed, and when the crowd's like this, I'm ready to rap. But before I could buzz around on the mic, freaks are all over me like white on rice. Freaks come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, but what I like about them most is that they're real good lovers. They do it in the park, they do it in the dark, but most freaks are known for breaking hearts. You can never tell what a freak is thinking of, and you may never catch a freak without at least one glove. They don't walk, when they step, they strut, and nine times out of ten, they drive you nuts. So take my advice, you don't stand a chance. Freaks are so bad, they got their own dance. So if you wanna live a nice, quiet life, do yourself a favor, don't come out at night, cause
freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night.
Freaks come out.
Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night.
Freaks come out.
Freaks come out at night.
Hut one. Hut two. Hut.
I'm Robbie St. James from the wildly popular Chris and Rob Show. Listen, as you know, I'm a big, fat, sweaty guy. And just because I'm fat doesn't mean I don't love money. With money, I can buy baby powder to sprinkle all over my big, fat butt. So, I'm glad to tell you about Copperhead Weight Loss Program. Here's the deal. You send them money, they send some of it to me. I spend that money on beer and cigars, while you get a bottle of oregano capsules with vague instructions and fictitious testimonials. Hey, what a great deal. So call now, Tell them Robbie St. James told you to call, and you save 20%. I get a fat wallet to match my enormous bloated gut, so hey, listen, this is radio. I couldn't lie about my looks now, could I? Call now.
Tell them who? Tell them who told him to call?
Robbie St. James.
All right, I got you.
Give Chris and Rob a call. East Devine Street, dial 749-1444. West Devine Street, call 749-1444. This is WAIF.
WAIF, the Chris and Rob late night talk show, Halloween Spooktacular.
Oh, yeah.
He's Chris. I am Rob.
Blah, it's our Spooktacular. Blah.
And joining us on the Spooktacular line is Tony Cisneros, a professor at the University of Texas at Brownsville. Welcome to the show, Professor Cisneros.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself? Is this from Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yes, we're calling you from sunny, romantic, lovely Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, that's great.
Pick up your phone. Sounds like you're on speakerphone.
I am on a speakerphone. That's because I got the whole group here that kind of want to join in on the interview here.
Oh, okay. Have everybody sound off then.
Everybody say hi.
Hi!
A big hello from Big Far, Texas, down here in the sunny weather of South Texas.
Well, fantastic. Now, you've been snooping around the University of Texas at Brownsville, and you've taken some photos, and what do these photos show?
Well, it all depends, really. A lot of the photos can show different things, anything from things that are considered orbs or vortexes, different types of spiritual phenomena that only is seen by a photography and not by the naked eye.
So when you're taking a picture of, I don't know, the library or the bathroom or the sociology building or whatever, and you're taking a picture of an empty room, but when you get the film back from Walgreens, it's showing some sort of phenomenon?
Right. Well, what we also use is what you call psychic photography, and we don't just go around taking pictures left and right. We try to use our senses to pick up sensitivity of spirits in any area that we feel there's a presence or we feel the phenomena itself. We try to snap a picture wherever it is that we're getting the sensation from that's coming. And that's how we usually end up with the orbs or even apparition on the photo.
So if you have psychic photography, do you use special film or do you go with the Kodak 400?
No, actually it doesn't really matter. You can the photography you can do, it can take up to a 200 speed to 400 to 800. It doesn't really matter what type of film you use.
Sounds like your other line's ringing there, Tony.
I'm sorry?
Sounds like your other phone line's ringing.
Hey, it's a busy club.
Hey, so let's start at the beginning here. Let's give our listeners the whole story and nothing but the story. How did the whole haunting of the University of Texas as Brownsville's get started? Who is the quote-unquote spirit that inhabits the university? What's that all about?
Okay, for that, let me John Chapa, he's our vice president, join in on the conversation here so he can have a little part of it too, okay?
Okay.
He's the vice president of what, the university or... Hey, John?
So, this is John. I'm vice president of Valley Ghost Hunter Society.
Aha, okay, cool.
And pretty much the history on the University of Brownsville, it dates back pretty much to the beginning of like the late 1700s, early 1800s, back from the Confederate War, the Civil War and stuff.
Right.
That used to be Fort Brown. It used to house all the Confederate soldiers. So during that time, a lot of soldiers were mysteriously dying. Later on, they found out it was caused by the yellow fever, epidemic. And they believe that a lot of the soldiers are the souls that are left behind, and pretty much that's what the students and the other professors and university staff are seeing. There's been accounts that janitors, overnight janitors, are here, soldier marching outside next to the street next to the university, and you know there's actually nothing going on. There's nobody outside, so that's where a lot of the belief comes that it's actually the old soldiers that passed away there at the port.
And you're sure that this isn't some sort of fraternity prank that got started back in the 30s or the 40s or the 50s and just sort of snowballed into one of those campus legends?
Well, that's been brought up, but there's also been a lot of evidence that there's been some old Fort Brown uniform buttons that have been found at locations where a lot of activity has been reported inside the buildings, outside on the grounds, and those buttons have been studied and analyzed by historical museums down here, and they've been verified that they have been actual pieces of uniforms. So, I mean, that could be a possibility, but at the same time, there's been a lot of proof that, you know, there is some paranormal phenomenon going on there at the university.
Well, John, when did you first start believing in ghosts?
Well, my experiences started as I was a kid, but as I grew up, you know, I started pretty much dismissing it as being my imagination. That was one of the main reasons why I decided to join in the society as well, is just to pretty much answer some of my questions that I had. And from previous investigations and current investigations that we're working on right now, a lot of my questions have been answered, and you know, I'm pretty much led to believe that we're really not alone here. I mean, there's something around us as well.
This is the Chris and Rob Show, WAIF. We're talking to various and sundry members of the the Valley Ghost Hunters Club?
Valley Ghost Hunter Society.
And you're in Brownsville, Texas, in the southern tip of Texas, right by the Mexican border, right?
Correct.
And you guys investigate hauntings not just at the University of Texas at Brownsville, but also in the San Antonio, Houston, and New Orleans areas.
Well, our plans are to go out that far. We have gone to San Antonio. We've done an investigation out there in San Antonio. Our plans is to pretty much network with other paranormal investigative groups in the state, and possibly, you know, join forces and do out-of-state investigations.
Well, New Orleans is the most haunted city in the country.
Exactly, and that's one of our plans.
Yeah,
you know, we want to get together with another group and possibly do an investigation out there, because, like you said, it is one of the most haunted states in the United States, and along there with Georgia, and we would love to someday go out there and see what's out there.
Well, Valley Ghost Hunter Society, you guys do stakeouts like they do in the movies, where you sit in an old building or maybe the library at the university overnight with your cameras and your special lights and all this.
Right.
What have you guys experienced in any of your sessions? Have you come across any real live ghosts?
Well, a lot of the times, you know, during our investigations, it's not like we're sitting there and we see a ghost float right in front of us. A lot of the times, majority of the times, I mean, we really don't see anything the whole time we're there. It's not until afterwards when we start analyzing our film, mm-hmm. Developing our film, getting our readings, that we actually did capture something on video, perhaps orbs that are flying around in front of our cameras, you know, and same thing goes with our pictures that we develop. I mean, we really don't see anything at the time that we're taking our pictures. Like Tony mentioned, if we get a feeling like we're being watched or there's something right behind us, you know, we'll turn around and snap a picture.
Well, what's that feeling? You mentioned you don't want to just take pictures willy-nilly. You want to take pictures when you have the feeling that a ghost or a spirit has his icy hand of undeath on you.
Right.
How do you know? I mean, what describe the feeling that, holy cow, there's a ghost in the room. I mean, describe that feeling if you could.
Everybody has a certain feeling. Mine in particular is I feel pretty anxious. If I'm somewhere and I really don't feel comfortable and I just want to hurry up and, you know, take a picture and get the hell out of there, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do that, because that's just the feeling that I get. I get a sense of anxiousness. I just want to hurry up and take that picture and get out of there, you know. Tony, he's a little bit more sensitive. You know, he's got a good feel for that, so...
I could tell Tony was sensitive.
Excuse me?
I could tell Tony was sensitive.
Yeah.
Now, you guys keep mentioning orbs. I mean, I think of ghosts, and I think of, you know, your traditional headless horseman or your traditional, like, you know, bedsheet kind of looking ghost. What's an orb?
Orbs is pretty much... ghosts or spirits can manifest themselves in different forms. One can be in an apparition, such as a shadow, either black or white, in a mist. They can also manifest. The most common one that is usually caught on video or on film is as an orb. And an orb is pretty much a transparent ball of energy that is naked to the eye. It's invisible to the naked eye, but it can be caught on video if you're using a night scope feature on a camcorder. They come out very, very clearly on that, and those are probably the most common types of spiritual manifestations.
Have you ever felt threatened by a ghost? Has they ever, like, thrown a candlestick at you or tried to hit you with a monkey wrench or anything?
Fortunately, not. Luckily, we haven't come across anything evil or bad at this point, and we hope we never do. But, you know, in this line of business, I mean, anything can be possible. But fortunately, at this time, we haven't come across of any poltergeist or any bad spirit energy or that are actually harmful or can be harmful to us.
Well, now, how does the University of Texas at Brownsville is known throughout the world as being an outstanding academic institution.
Right.
How do the people at the University of Texas, that you probably call it UTAP, how do the people there at UTAP feel about ghost hunters crawling around?
Actually, they received us with open arms. I mean, we didn't go out there and propose an investigation. Actually, we got a call from one of the ladies there, and they pretty much just invited us with open arms. A lot of the students are aware that, you know, there is some phenomenon going on, but they pretty much accepted it too. As a matter of fact, the university has gotten some publicity on this, and a lot of students have been curious and actually have enrolled in there, not only for their great academic stature, but, you know, those students who are curious in paranormal activity, I mean, they want to experience something for themselves as well. So actually, the student census has increased there at the university.
So you might start putting your photos in the brochures they pass out to the high school kids.
Right.
Come for the education and stay for the ghosts.
Right.
Now we've heard a story about you have a photo of a ghost who has a noose around his neck.
Well, that's the photo that was taken in the arts building of the university. We don't really know for a fact that it's a noose. It appears to be, but it's a clear silhouette image of what appears to be a man. What the lady was telling us, the lady who was giving us the tour at the time, she told us after the fact that she did bring in a psychic about 10 years ago, and that psychic said that at that same exact spot that this picture was taken and that this apparition manifested itself in, a man, she got the feeling that a man was hung there.
Hmm.
So I guess that's where the word kind of got out, that it looked like there was a noose around his neck, but we don't know for sure, or we don't know for a fact it is a noose. It just appears to be that way.
Now, this was in the art building or the women's dorm?
No, this was in the arts building of the university.
All right.
And that's been one of the main areas where there's been a lot of paranormal activity going on. In the whole university, there's actually three places. That's the library, the second floor of the library.
Right.
The arts building and the old morgue. The old morgue is still there. They use it as a storage. There's been a lot of activity going on in there as well. We weren't able to go in there at the time because it was padlocked.
Well, John, you know, Chris and I went to a Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of us guys up there were hung.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so how much more do you plan on researching this?
The university?
Yeah.
Well, we've requested to go back and do an overnight investigation, but that's still pending. We haven't gotten an approval or clearance on that yet. But we're still waiting, and we're hoping we do get that approval.
Well, it sort of makes sense that the university, the powers that be, may not want you to do that for a number of reasons, because obviously if you do find that there is some sort of element to the university, a ghost, a haunting, whatever, it might cause a decrease in incoming students. And
right.
Of course, if you find nothing, that's not very much fun either now, is it?
That's right. That's true.
So it's a lose-lose situation for the university. So I think you got your tricks cut out for you there to get access back for an overnight, scientific project.
Right. And we're hoping we do, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Do sightings and hauntings become more more common this time of year as Halloween grows near? Do more people report ghosts?
Actually, we haven't really seen very much of an increase this month. It's been pretty steady ever since February. We haven't really seen too much of an increase this month, but like I said, I mean, since February, we've had at least two or three really good investigations every month.
And what is that, a dog in the background?
Oh, no. No, there's not a dog.
Okay, I thought I heard a little howling back there. Might be a hobgoblin. And where do you guys publish your findings?
Where do we publish them?
Yeah,
we're working on a website on the internet, and hopefully, probably by the end of the this coming month, we should have it up and running, and on valleyvibe.com.
Valleyvibe.com?
Correct.
And will some of these photos be posted there?
Absolutely. It's going to be probably about an 8 or 9 page website, and it's going to have photos, it's going to have live stream of some of our investigations and video, and audio samples as well.
Now, how realistic is the movie Ghostbusters?
Excuse me?
How realistic is the movie Ghostbusters?
That's just Hollywood fantasy right there.
So, the ghosts that you encounter don't actually have faces and stuff like the ghosts in that movie?
Well, we have come across some investigations where some pictures have been taken, and a face does appear, you know, on certain surfaces. For example, this current investigation we're working on right now, we had a news crew with us, and as we were getting ready to leave, we passed by one of the offices in the building that we were investigating, and lo and behold, there was what appeared to be a profile of a man that manifested itself on the window. So the news crew was there with us. They caught that on video, and that pretty much just shocked the hell out of all of us. You know, I mean, our first reaction was, what the hell is that? And we took off running. But we ended up going back and verified that. And sure enough, it did appear to be a face of a male.
So
that was a shocker. That was a shocker.
So do you ever try to communicate with the ghost? Do you ever, like, write a question on a chalkboard and see if the ghost will write an answer or anything like that?
We haven't done that. Usually what we do in our investigations is we'll walk around with a handheld recorder. And we'll pretty much just throw our questions out loud. And we have come across some investigations where we have heard something come up in the background. But, of course, we have to listen to it very clearly and carefully, because sometimes the responses are very faint. And we're trying to locate a facility down here in the valley, see if they can help us out with analyzing our audio, because audio can be kind of tricky, because, you know, you've got a lot of background noise and stuff. So, you know, we've come across something on occasions, some noises or what appears to be responses to some of the questions that we're asking out loud. But we want to work with closely with a facility down here to see if they can analyze our audio and get confirmation on what's on the audio tape.
Now, quickly, before we let you go, what are some other cases you're working on currently, besides the one at the University of Texas?
We've got two investigations that are pending right now that are considered historical sites, and they're very hot right now. A lot of activity has been going on in these locations, and we're just hoping we get approval and clearance to go into these places and see if we can get some of this stuff on our website so the nation can log on and experience it for themselves.
What are these places?
One of them is called La Lomita. It's an old, used to be a nun missionary, and that belongs to the Diocese of Brownsville. They've been giving us some hard time as to going in there, but that's a very, very old historical site. And another one is the City Hall here in Weslaco, Texas, that also used to be, back in the 30s and 40s, used to be an old firehouse. And there's been a lot of activity going on there, too. So we're trying to get clearance to go in these places.
What do you buy the notion that ghosts are the souls of people who were taken unexpectedly?
Yeah, I believe that when we die, I mean, we stay here earthbound until the second coming of Christ. And until then, I mean, we're here. I believe that when our loved ones die, they're here with us. And I think we have a spirits all around us. It's just a matter of whether they want to let themselves know that they're actually here, or they want to manifest themselves in one way or another.
Hmm. So these guys are all dead Confederate soldiers.
Probably. They can be. That's what's believed.
And it's just gnawing away at them, knowing that the Yankees won. And that Texas is no longer a state. And that Texas is sucked back into the Union with the rest of them.
I've heard don't mess with Texas, but I bet even worse with that, it would be don't mess with dead Texas.
That's right.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a happy Halloween, and keep us posted.
Absolutely.
As to your investigation and your any of your other endeavors.
Excellent. Thank you.
ValleyVibe.com.
I'll put you on hold, and we'll have our producer exchange emails with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. It's the annual Halloween Spooktacular.
It's also our biannual pledge.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute, so stay tuned.
Pledge drive.
Phone number here is 749-1444. If the line is busy, try 961-8900. 749-1444, 961-8900. This is the Chris and Rob Show. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, Mary, what's a zombie?
A what?
Who said anything about a zombie?
Oh, I always thought it was a drink. But that fella Cortega, he says it's an old dead guy over on the island, and he walks like this. Oh, Larry.
He was telling the truth.
He was.
It's voodooism, and not very pleasant. You see, when a man dies and is buried, some voodoo priests seem to have the power to bring him back to life. Fact is, there's an old woman living on Lost Island who has a zombie son.
Two mates.
Oh, shut up.
How horrible.
It's worse than horrible, because a zombie has no will of its own. Every once in a while, you see him walking about with dead eyes, blindly following orders, not knowing what they do and not caring.
It's like husbands.
He finds himself endeared to a girl who's kind of weird.
You see, she's mostly ghostly. Up and down my spine a new sensation crawls. Fastly, ghastly, the way she floats on air and walks through walls. Indeed she's mostly ghostly. Try to kiss her and she'll vanish into gloom. Mighty, flighty, it's hard to say just when she'll reappear on a broom. Other girls I've known were simply dimpling, just another standard pretty face. But this one haunts me so, I daren't let her go. It's so thrilling, really chilling, when we share a brief embrace. Because she's mostly ghostly. What a mystic gig to have her on my arm. Is mostly ghostly, clearly the most different girl I've ever seen. Truly, ghouly, every day's a holiday when I'm with her, a holiday, yes, every day with her is Halloween.
Hey! it's Chris and Rob in the talk show. We gotta get this party rocking. There you go.
You know, every year for Halloween, I go as Tarzan.
Tarzan? Well, you ain't got the body for it.
What? I got the body for it.
You ain't got the body.
I got the body for it, baby cakes. Let me tell you something. I strap on the loincloth, I kick off the shoes, I rip off the shirt, and I am Tarzan. I walk into the bar, and every eye is on me. Every woman wants to be with me. Every man wants to be me, because for Halloween, I go as a shirtless, pantless, shoeless Tarzan. My pectorals rippling.
It's funny, because your girlfriend was telling me that last year you guys dressed up as Fred and Wilma Flintstone.
No.
Do you think maybe somebody's got their wires crossed here?
I was Tarzan. I don't know.
A lot of people thought you were Fred Flintstone.
Not the women I was with. They didn't think that I was...
Were you saying, or were you saying yabba-dabba-doo?
I was saying, ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. It's a WAIF, the Wild Wild Waif. We're taking pledges. It's our biannual fall fun drive. Actually, the fall fun drive is annual, but we have two fun drives a year, so this makes it the biannual fun drive. WAIF, as you know, is a community public radio station which serves to bring different alternative points of view, musical genres,
and I
other
bring,
programming.
I bring the
stop
sexy
already.
Point
Just
of
stop.
View. I bring the sexy
Listen,
point of view.
Let me do this thing and be serious, and you can come back with your witty yet partay here in 5 minutes after we get the
Listen, as a member of the sexy community, I know that we sexy people are grossly underrated, underrepresented in the mainstream media. My role as a broadcaster on WAIF is to represent the sexy people. So I would like to challenge all the sexy people in the audience to give generously to WAIF, the real stepchild radio, what radio is meant to be. Please be generous if you're sexy.
People who listen to the station all the time know all of the different types of programming, musical genres, and alternative points of views that are presented on WAIF, but the stuff ain't free. We bring it to you for free, of course. Non-commercial. These are all non-commercial free rides that we bring you here, but we need the generous support of listeners like yourself in order to maintain broadcasting excellence. So please call now with your pledge of support for public radio in Cincinnati, and we're not talking about that stuffed shirt public radio, but we're talking about the real deal, the Wild Wild Waif. Oh yeah. Please call now. Operators are standing by. 749-1444. Line's busy. Try 961-8900. And between those two numbers, you can get through. 749-1444 or 961-8900. Pledge levels start, of course, at a penny. But officially, they start at $15, which is your basic membership. Moving on up from there, at the $25 level, WAIF has an exciting new premium that we're offering this year for the first time only. And here's Rob to tell you about the $25 level pledge premium.
Have you ever looked at your car and said, you know, I love my hoopty, but my goodness, the license plate just looks naked. Well, we can solve that problem. For the $25 pledge level, you will receive a license plate frame. Don't let your license plate catch a cold. Get a license plate frame for it. I mean, you wouldn't put a picture on the wall without a frame. Your license plate is a work of art, especially the new Ohio Bicentennial plates. Red, white, and blue ones, those things are sharp. You'll want a lovely frame to put around your new license plate. $25 pledge level for the WAIF license plate frame. And, of course, you get a WAIF decal to put on that car. And a WAIF alert subscription.
If you're feeling even more generous than that, for the $75 level, we've got the WAIF ball cap. That's a baseball hat with the WAIF logo on it. Styling and profiling this fall when you're getting geared up for all your World Series games. You got your WAIF ball cap. And by the time the premium gets to you, it should be just in time for spring training. So call now, 749-1444. Or if the line's busy, try 961-8900. 749-1444 or 961-8900. Now, here's Rob with the premium levels for the $125 contribution, which, if you think about it, is cheap compared to those other public radio stations. They ask you to give, like, what, $15 a month? But add that up. What's that times 12, Rob?
Bah!
Exactly. That's it's expensive. You can't afford that. $125 is cheap for public radio. Rob, what do you get if you contribute $125 to the WAIF Fall Pledge Drive?
Well, before we get to that, we'd like to thank Sherry, Tony, Melissa, Jeff, and Chip for pledging. Thanks a lot, fellas and gals, for those pledges. Please, you pledge at 749-1444. Also, 961-8900. Operators are standing by. Now, getting back to the $125 pledge level. First of all, you get membership in the highly exclusive 88.3 Club. You'll join such luminaries as yours truly, Robbie St. James, and Chris's dad.
Leap Skyward?
Your dad, right?
Yeah, the old man's on the list.
Leap Skyward and Jim Scott. Mm-hmm. So, for $125, you can join the only club that holds me, Chris's dad, Leap Skyward, and Jim Scott and as members. That's the 88.3 Club. And let me tell you something. We don't have functions all that often, but when we do get together, it is a party. So join the 88.3 Club. Get a long-sleeve Henley. This is a shirt, and it's a fine shirt. It's a long-sleeve shirt, and it has, like, three buttons and no collar. It's very cool. You can wear it to the Halloween party.
It's both kinds of fashion, Rob.
What do you mean both kinds?
It's styling and profiling.
It's high fashion and low fashion. You'll look good in it. Of course, I usually go shirtless.
Now, we know that you're going to make your pledge to public radio, WAIF, not because of all of the exciting premiums that you'll receive and the premium levels that you'll attain, but because you're supportive of public radio. You're not going to hear anything like WAIF anywhere within a 300 or 400 mile radius. I mean, Detroit ain't got one of these. Chicago does. Say, I don't think St. Louis has one of these either, do they? They might.
I don't know, man. They might.
A lot of cities even larger than Cincinnati don't have a, what you would call, what do you call this? Alternative public radio?
A community radio station.
Right. You got the classical music station, and you might have like the jazz/NPR station as far as public radio in most cities. And sometimes like a nursing home will get a station. And that's it. But in Cincinnati, you've got WAIF, just like you got WFMU in New York, and you got one of these in San Francisco at Berkeley University. So what the heck? You're in good company. WAIF, pledge your support now, 749-1444.
And we need to mention, for every paid pledge, WAIF will donate $1 to help support the relief efforts in the United States. So you're helping two fantastic causes. You're helping WAIF, Community Broadcasting, for your community. You're also helping to support the relief efforts in the United States, New York City, and the Pentagon attacks. So $15, you get...